When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome into Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid. It is the 24th of June, 2021. I'm Craig Mish, along with Davis Maddock. We've got all of your wagering and fantasy information covered here on this Thursday as we head toward the weekend. A lot to get to here on the show. A great game in the NBA. Another great performance, I should say, in the NBA last night. We have a head coaching hiring, which we're going to get to, of course. Major League Baseball coverage as well. And Davis, I know that a really big day for the Boston Celtics, and no doubt for the city of Boston as well. Great place to start here. A lot of landmark moves being made this week in the NFL and Major League Baseball craziness, and of course, in the NBA, pretty big deal with a new coach.
Ime Udoka coming over from the Brooklyn Nets coaching staff. I have actually heard this guy's name bandied about, you know, for coaching hires in the past. I love the idea that the Celtics, you know, didn't try to hire, you know, George Karl or Stan Van Gundy or, you know, just one of these guys who's been a coach for 20 years in the NBA. Because I think that they realistically looked, you know, I think Brad Stevens realistically looked at the challenges that are presenting their roster, and they go, like, it's just not going to get done with a guy who's coaching basketball the way it's been played for the last 20 years. You know, they added Horford back to the team, but there is going to be more puzzle piecing together for that roster. So I'm super excited to see what he does. And also, he was an assistant coach, Udoka was, with the Spurs for 7 seasons. So you got to think he has soaked up some of that Greg Popovich special sauce, you know, the same way that Mike Budenholzer has. I know Budenholzer is under fire right now. And I'm just excited to see the direction this goes.
Yeah, for sure. And I think a really good move for the Celtics, too. So let's get to our headlines here as we start the show here on this Thursday. As Davis mentioned, Ime Udoka. Did I say that right? Did I get that right? Close?
You sure did.
Okay, good. Thank goodness. Is the new head coach of the Boston Celtics. This is not going to be an easy name for me to pronounce. We're going to need a nickname for him. Hawks take game one in Milwaukee, 116-113 behind a unbelievable performance from Trae Young, which we're going to get to here on the show in just a second. The Islanders, I know everyone excited in Long Island, coming back to force a game seven against Tampa Bay. Could we be in for a game seven in the Western Conference Finals as well? George Kurtz will tell us a little bit later in the show. The Nationals beat the Phillies in comeback fashion. Phillies bullpen blowing it. Man, 2 years in a row with that bullpen. 13-12. Both teams hit grand slams in that game. and the Padres sweep the Dodgers, winning their seventh game in a row. Try and figure out these Padres. They win a bunch in a row. They lose a bunch in a row. I don't know which Padres team we're going to see in the postseason. I guess whichever team is hot or cold, I'm not sure. But the story in the NBA, of course, last night was the performance of Trae Young, who's been pretty good at home, but unbelievable on the road. So why is this guy playing like one of the greatest in the game on the road and carrying his team to victories? He was asked that question last night.
Yeah, I've always, I mean, ever since I was in middle school, I mean, when I was going on the road in middle school, I was always loved playing on the road. I loved playing against the opposing crowd, an opposing team, and it feels like you're really just you're with your team and it's just them in the building. And I think that really brings our group together. We're a close group. And when you're on the road, it really forces you to come closer with your teammates to really find a way to win. And I think that's why I really like playing on the road with this team. All right.
There's no doubt at this point that if it's working, don't change it. And Davis, for Trae Young and the Hawks to arguably pull off the biggest upset thus far of the 2021 NBA playoffs, I think you gotta start taking this team a lot more seriously. Any kind of lean, any kind of, I would say, underdog odds that you could have got on the Hawks are now done over on FanDuel. And at this point, I mean, who's to stop the Hawks from winning at all if they're going to play like this?
I mean, I'm completely with you. And by the way, it's funny because we're going to talk about Rick Carlisle, who got hired as the coach of the Indiana Pacers. Nate McMillan, who is the head coach now of the Atlanta Hawks, was fired by the Indiana Pacers 10 months ago. Now he is the head coach of the team that is here in the Eastern Conference Finals, up 1-0. And, you know, if you are a believer, right now in the FanDuel Sportsbook, the Atlanta Hawks are plus 164 to win this series. You know, I think with, you know, the Bucks' history of getting tight in close games, with Giannis's free throw troubles, with how bad Chris Middleton was last night. I mean, Middleton played so bad. I got to say, I am pretty intrigued by these odds right now for the Atlanta Hawks. I think Trae Young is playing so well. And it to me, this is what it feels like. It feels like the Hawks have an identity, and it feels like they have no pressure. If they lose, they lose. They weren't supposed to be here in the first place. If they win, it's great. They're in the NBA championship, and I think every moment for the Bucks is filled with pressure and anxiety.
Yeah, and to think that before the playoffs, the kind of odds in the matchup that you could have gotten for a Hawks-Suns NBA Finals, I mean, essentially a $100 bet would have got you five figures on that happening. It's just incredible the way that these playoffs have kind of, I would say, evolved at this point. Rick Carlisle, as Davis mentioned, is the new head coach in Indiana. We will talk about that coming up in just a little bit. But coming up next, more fantasy discussion as we dive into everything happening in fantasy sports and sports wagering.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
We got afternoon baseball games to get to as well, so stay with us on the grid. Plenty more to come right here on Fantasy Sports Today. We're off and running here on this Thursday. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Sports Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back, Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid. Craig and David Matic. We've got a big game, of course, in the NBA tonight. And anytime the home team wins the first two games of a best of seven, game three becomes must win. So that's the scenario tonight for the Los Angeles Clippers. Let's take a look at the FanDuel Sportsbook and see where they have the odds for tonight. It may surprise some to see the Suns favored in this game at Los Angeles. Total 221.5. Phoenix, of course, took a pretty commanding 2-0 series lead, although the Clippers played with the Suns in the first two games. No Kawhi Leonard, of course, for the Clippers. And tonight, Davis, it is the return of Chris Paul. And with them up to zip, let's get your opinion on this one. When we are back here on the show tomorrow, is this series going to be over, or are the Clippers going to be right back in this thing?
Yeah, I gotta say, I'm pretty shocked to see this line. We talked about this during the Bucks-Nets series, but you know, pretty much the way it goes is when the home team comes back down 2-0, almost universally, the home team is gonna be favored down 2-0, right? We had that big conversation with the Nets being underdogs against the Bucks, and I was like, look, you gotta bet this line. That was the crazy low scoring game with 3.5-point spread the Nets ended up covering. I am definitely on the Clippers here. They've been right in both of these games. Paul George has been playing very well. Reggie Jackson finally got the memo that he doesn't need to be shooting 30 times in a game. And look, had Paul George made his free throws to close out that game, we're not even talking about this scenario. We are talking about a series being 1-1. You know, Devin Booker was phenomenal in game one, his first career triple-double in game one of the Western Conference Finals. Sometimes a guy is that good and there's not really anything you can do. There's not an amount of defense that the Clippers could have played to stop Devin Booker in that game. So I am on the Los Angeles Clippers here. Give me the points. Give me the money line. Doesn't really matter. I also would maybe slightly lean the over here because I think a higher scoring game likely favors the Los Angeles Clippers. Now, Chris Paul is going to be back in this game. I guess he is listed as probable due to his COVID positive test and the associated contact tracing, but we are expecting him to play in this game. I just believe in the Clippers, and I know, you know, they do not have Kawhi Leonard, but their roster is so good, and we are gonna find out tonight, because you are completely correct. If the Suns get there tonight, this series is over.
Yeah, so I think that does pose the question for some from different odds, some alternative odds that FanDuel has posted, which is why I wanted to ask this question today. I want to take a look at these here because I think there could be some value found here as opposed to the game, which I have no idea it's going to go. I think I have a better feel for the series. So if we take a look at it here on FanDuel, Davis, you basically have six options tonight if you want to not bet the game and just bet the series. If you can pick the exact amount of games the series will go. So the favorite clearly is plus 155. And I think we would both agree that if the Suns win this series 3-1, this would be the Clippers winning tonight and then losing in the next game. And then the series gets closed out 4-1. Okay, so that's obviously a possibility. You can get plus 250 if you think the Suns are going to sweep this series. And by the way, if they win tonight, I think they probably do. So here's where the long shots come in. So here's the assumption that Phoenix wins the series in six games, and that's plus 440, and that can happen in any different direction. So I do like that. You also have the Suns winning in seven games, which is certainly possible at plus 550. And then we get a little crazy here, Davis, which means the Clippers win the next two, and then they just go back and forth for a bit. You could get 11-1 odds on FanDuel. And I absolutely hate this bet right here. And I think that this is burning money to think that the Clippers are going to win in six games and win four straight from here on out. I mean, what have you seen that would indicate that possibly could happen in this series? I would say none. But I could go with any five of these options here, Davis, the first five. Do you like anything in particular here?
Yeah, I was thinking Clippers 4-3 or Suns 4-3, that you could bet both of those and just kind of bet on the home team prevailing for the rest of the series, and then you're coin flipping there in the seventh game. That kind of was what appealed to me, because again, you know, I think these first two games have been very close. You know, we literally had like a miraculous play, like the Jay Crowder to DeAndre Ayton lob. How many times have you seen a team do that? And how many times have you seen a team execute that? Like, I've seen that play attempted many times, but it's very hard to actually do. A lot can go wrong. And had Paul George made those free throws again, we are talking about a very different series, and we are looking at this in a much different way. So I think the right way to approach this from a sports wagering perspective, and again, you know, these are probably not wagers I would be looking to make if I... Like, there's a difference between recreational sports gambling and doing these things, you know, to do it professionally. I don't think very many professional sports wagerers are betting on Suns 4-3, Clippers 4-3, but it's a fun little bit. And, you know, if you put $25 on each of those, and you are locked into profit if the series goes seven games. So again, it kind of depends on what do you think happens tonight. If you think the Suns are going to be the team that gets there tonight, then those are both terrible wagers, because then you're talking about the series ending pretty quick. But if you think the Clippers are able to hold serve here at home, like, for example, these odds, if the Clippers hold serve at home, are going to drastically diminish. You know, it would be Suns 4-3 at 2-1, Clippers 4-3 at 4-1. So I definitely think that probably there is a little bit of value in betting both of those.
Right, and another possible option here would be, if you feel the Clippers have a shot to win the series, but you're not sure, you could take the Clippers to win in seven games at 11-1. And, you know, that $100 bet brings you, $1,000 basically. And then you get to game seven, Davis. And guess what? If this series goes seven, what would Phoenix be favored in a game seven scenario? -2? -3? I don't know. You could bet the money line. -160. And you could make 3 to 4 times your money instead of making 11 times if that's what you choose. So that's another good way to hedge getting all the way through the series into game seven, almost basically saying pick the longest odds you can, get to game seven. You know, in that scenario, the money line is not going to be prohibitive. There's no way they're going to, if they get to game seven, the Suns are not going to be 6-point favorites or five. It'll be less than that. And I'll also give you another scenario. I don't know if this is possible or not. Shoot me down if it's not. But is there any chance at all in a week from now Kawhi Leonard is back and playing? Is there any chance? I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. Is there none?
So based on what I have heard, it seems pretty unlikely. He did not travel with the team to game one. He was staying to get treatment. Now, I guess what's interesting is they have not officially ruled him out for the rest of the playoffs. They haven't been like, okay, Kawhi Leonard tore his ACL, he can't play. So until we get an actual update on, like, this is what is structurally wrong with Kawhi Leonard's knee, I don't think that you can count him out. And maybe he's out there playing on one leg. Like, is Kawhi Leonard on one leg better than playing the Patrick Beverley, Reggie Jackson backcourt? I mean, honestly, maybe. Like, Kawhi Leonard at 50% might be a more impactful player in this series, especially because I would imagine that having an ACL injury, it would really limit what Kawhi is able to do offensively. Like, he just would not be able to turn quick enough. He wouldn't be able to get through guys. But I bet with one leg, Kawhi can still play defense. Honestly, like, I bet on one leg, he would still be a good defender against Devin Booker and against Chris Paul. But again, I have no special insight on what's wrong with him. But it's certainly weird that we don't have an update on, like, what his actual injury is. All we've heard is ACL injury. We don't know if it's a tear. We don't know if it's a strain. Like, we just don't know.
Yeah. And by the way, game seven would not be for over a week from now. So, I mean, look, I don't know the seriousness of the injury, but then let's paint that scenario. Let's say Kawhi Leonard just comes back for game seven and the series has been tight you're sitting with a ticket on FanDuel with the Clippers to win at 11-1, and with Kawhi Leonard back in game 7, I think it's probably a pick 'em game or Suns minus 1. So you're not even laying any juice at that point getting there. So a couple of different options for you over on FanDuel to consider. Baseball preview of today's games coming up next right here on Sports Grid.
Your heart's racing.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid. We do have afternoon baseball to talk about today. It's a light schedule, so we'll take care of DFS coming up. But first, let's look at what FanDuel is giving us options on today against the spread and, of course, the money line in baseball, which is predominantly what most people would wager on. Our first game of the day is at 1:05 Eastern, and Davis's Kansas City Royals are certainly up against it today as they are on the road taking on the Yankees. It is Brad Keller facing off with Jameson Taillon. And as you can see, the Yankees are pretty big favorites here, minus 200 on the money line. The total is 9.5. So that gives some hope. At least maybe there's some runs to be scored late in the game. The Yankees have shown over the last week or so a propensity for coming back in games. They've also converted on some triple plays late in games. So the Yankees all of a sudden are a late inning team, although they're still four back of the wild card in the American League chase. They got Luke Voit back on the field. He has definitely made a difference and talked about being back with the club and helping them come back winning some games.
Obviously, it's been a rough year for me, and I haven't been around the team a lot, but I know this is a championship locker room, and, you know, this game is hard, and, you know, sometimes the ball doesn't go your way, and sometimes, you know, you lead yourself into making mistakes that, you know, cost you games. And this team is really good. It's a bunch of good players, and, you know, this is the type of win, obviously coming back twice, you know, and, you know, winning it, and, you know, in a big way to get us back, you know, on a good hot streak, you know, and roll into the second half of the season.
Well, Davis, look, the Yankees are just are never fun to bet on, at least for me, especially when they're minus 200. There's just not a ton of value there. But your Royals have really, I don't know, I've sort of disappointed, I would say, over the last couple of months. It feels like they're headed toward a 90-loss season, maybe 100, probably not 100, but maybe 90. You know, Brad Keller pitches today. He's not going to strike a lot of guys out. So, and Taillon, by the way, again, another pitcher. It's only going 5 innings. So that's why the total is 9.5, because the bullpen's going to have to figure this out for the Yankees, too. So, is there any value on anything for you today?
Probably a little bit of value on the Yankees run line. You know, Brad Keller started the year. We thought, you know, hopefully this guy can be a decent number 4, number 5 starter. And you are completely correct, of course, about my Kansas City Royals. I mean, this lineup they are running out there today. No Mondesi, Ryan O'Hearn batting cleanup, Hanser Alberto batting 5th, Gerard Dyson batting 6th for the Kansas City Royals. I mean, it is very ugly right now in Kansas City. And look, you know, the season, they did their best to start. Mondesi has been injured. Coar did not pan out when they called him up. He has not been very good. So, look, they're gonna go into a shell. They'll be back next year. Hopefully, Mondesi will be healthy. Hopefully, some of those young starting pitchers will be a little bit more developed. And Keller, particularly, he's really been the worst guy on the staff. 19% K rate, almost a 10% walk rate. One of the worst strikeout minus walk numbers in baseball right now. And he hasn't even really been getting particularly unlucky. has not been getting ground balls, has been giving up a bunch of home runs, has been walking loads of guys. I mean, just not a good starting pitcher. So hopefully this is the last season that Brad Keller remains in the Kansas City Royals rotation. So I think probably Yankees run line. But as you mentioned, Taillon, not going to go deep in the game, maybe a stab at the over here. Hope Kansas City can grind out five runs and then let the Yankees do their thing.
Feels like the best bet is the over on that one. Texas back at it today. Adalys Garcia hit a home run yesterday. That's the good news. The bad news today is that former young prospect who a lot of folks thought were going to be really good, Colby Allard, is just not. And so Oakland's a very big favorite on the road today. Total is 8.5. Chris Bassitt is usually pretty solid and can get deeper into the games. Bullpen is very good for Oakland as well. They are in a position to make the postseason. Texas is not. So there's almost no way I could back Allard today. The only hope would be is that if they could get to Bassitt, which occasionally does happen. He goes through these two or three start stretches where he's 4 innings, 3 runs, 5 innings, 4 runs. But in general, he's usually pretty strong, 6-inning guy, 7-inning guy, 3 runs. So Oakland feels right today.
Yeah, I agree with you. Oakland feels right. I mean, sitting there at minus 144, if you wanted to be generous, you would say Chris Bassitt in his career, actually, he gives up a fair amount of power to left-handed bats. He's actually weird in that he is a right-handed starting pitcher who, through the 400 or 500 or so innings of his career has been better against lefties than righties, but does give up power, has given up, a good amount of home runs to left-handed batters. And the Rangers do have Nate Lau, Joey Gallo, Willie Calhoun in the lineup. You know, their power hitters are predominantly left-handed. So if you were looking for a reason to wager your lunch money on Colby Allard or on the Texas Rangers, that would be it. I want you to toss this one on. How about the under in this game? Obviously, you don't feel great about that with Allard, but we don't really think the Rangers are going to score too many runs here. And, just in general, the Athletics are a good offense, but they are not, they don't exactly pour it on the way, the Yankees might when they have it going, or the way the Blue Jays would. I mean, Oakland, they are a fantastic offense by like weighted on base average and by weighted runs created plus, but they have scored a below expectation amount of runs. I mean, I don't think I could actually get myself to bet the under on a game when Colby Allard was pitching. I also don't like to bet unders. Betting unders is just not fun. I mean, do you ever bet unders, Craig? It's just a miserable experience.
I love unders. Yes. NFL unders, college football. Yes, absolutely. Because it's no fun to bet the over, and so that's why you're always going to get a little bit of extra juice on the under. I definitely. In my younger days, was exactly the same way. And then when I realized that the books also understand that it's no fun to bet the under, they're always going to give you a little bit of an edge there. So I like making money more than I like having fun. So I think that's part of it. I probably would not go under on this one. I looked at Oakland's lineup. They got Canha. They got Chapman. They got Olson. They got Laureano. Are they missing anyone today? I don't see anyone. And it looks like Texas has rolled out their A lineup too. They got Solak, Garcia, Lau, Nate Lowe, Gallo. So I think it's just stay away from me, not interested. If anything, it's Oakland minus 140. And maybe even if I didn't want to lay the juice, -1.5, get some plus money there. All right, let's finish off here in the National League. We've got the Braves taking on the Cincinnati Reds. And it's funny, a lot of these teams that are around 500, I'm watching some of these post games. They're like, we got to start winning like right now because they understand the trade deadline is coming up 1 month from the 30th. And if a team, if an executive is going to make a trade, they have to show something. So are the Braves going to get back in this thing and show something? I'm not sure. Today, they're going to have an opener starting for them. Brian Snitker said that last night. For Cincinnati, it's Tony Santillan, who I don't know a ton about, and you probably shouldn't either because the total is 10. 10 going into tonight in Cincinnati. It is a coin flip game. And one of the main reasons it's a coin flip is because the Braves are playing short and they could potentially be playing for the second straight day without Ronald Acuna Jr. And Brian Snitker acknowledged that after the game last night.
It's, it's spazzing up on him. And it's just like George said, he can wake up tomorrow and feel great. So we'll just have to wait and see when he wakes up and see how he feels. So it's just, the tightness and all. But, you know, he said he could be better. He may need another day. I don't know. We won't know until tomorrow.
I think this is important also just from fantasy and for betting going forward. This also happened, Davis, to Acuna in Miami. He had to leave a game early with back spasm. So I don't know if this is going to happen all season long. But simply put, you are just throwing caution to the wind with betting on either of these two teams today. So I'm looking at that total, and I don't love overs, Davis, but the game is in Cincinnati. You're taking a little bit of a risk not having Acuna in the lineup, but if he is, my gosh, like these are two weak pitchers. The Braves bullpen has been weak. The Reds bullpen has been weak. So that would be my lean today as they get back to Great American Ballpark.
Yeah, the Reds bullpen has been terrible. But do you know who the opener is for the Atlanta Braves? It's none other than Josh Tomlin. He used to play for it's not?
No, I'm saying, ugh.
Yeah. Okay. I wanted to make sure I had that right. So Tomlin, people remember this guy. He played for the Cleveland Indians for a while, has been like a back end guy for the Atlanta Braves. He's just kind of been their long relief guy. I mean, I would imagine he probably goes three innings, but even three innings of Josh Tomlin, it's gonna get pretty ugly, because this is a guy who used to serve up home runs when he was young. Now you're talking about a 36-year-old Josh Tomlin trying to keep the ball in the park at Great American Ballpark. I feel pretty strongly that the Cincinnati Reds are the right side here. You know, Tony Santillan, no great shakes. The Cincinnati Reds bullpen, no great shakes. But no Acuna for the Atlanta Braves. And you know what? They really do not have a good substitute for him. You know, pretty much like the fourth outfielder for a Major League Baseball team would be like a good hitter. Like most teams, their fourth outfielder is the fourth outfielder because he doesn't play great defense. But the fourth outfielder for the Braves is here Adrianza sometimes. Sometimes it's Guillermo Heredia. I mean, not great. So I do like the Reds here, which feels terrible with Tony Santillan on the mound.
Well, I mean, it's their fifth outfielder, Davis, when you think about it, because Ozuna is out. So they have two guys playing when that is the case. And on top of it, if I'm not mistaken, Tomlin pitched yesterday. So he's going to have to pitch as the opener and pitching yesterday. That's not a good recipe either. So I like the over here, over 10. All right, DFS coming up next. We'll have a preview of that. So make sure you stay with us and stay on the grid. We also will preview tonight's Western Conference Stanley Cup final game, as George Kurtz joins us a little bit later in the show. This is Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid, noon at 2 Eastern every day. And we're back. Stay on the grid in just 2 minutes. Don't go away.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today. Head on over to FanDuel's DFS site to get some good options for tonight. For those of you who are getting ready to play the DFS slate, also go to Daily Roto. Check out all of Davis's work over there. Get some really good information. Hopefully you can make some money tonight. Davis, I know that it's a different slate tonight, so let's get a little bit of a preview here. How are you feeling about the slate going into this thing?
Yeah, this I'm going to be honest with you. It is a brutal slate. We have eight games, but really only one pitcher who I think that you could safely call an ace. Then we have Jose Berríos, who is going to be pitching for the Minnesota Twins. You know, Berríos, 3.5 ERA, decent strikeouts, but always has a blow up in him. Nick Pivetta has pitched very well this season, but no one is calling him an ace. Then guys like Joe Ross, Luis García. But I mean, I'm talking like Most of the pitchers on this slate are openers. We have a couple long relief guys, but it is the dregs of starting pitching. And I don't know if it's just a calendar confluence thing, but the pitching on this slate, one, it's going to mean that the chalk at starting pitcher is going to be extremely concentrated. And two, it also means there are going to be a lot of offenses that are in good positions to score runs tonight.
All right, so let's take a look at some starting pitching options. And boy, the Dodgers are happy to be done with the Padres. Walker Buehler will pitch tonight, so I'm sure they'll get back on track. 11,000. Luis Garcia, not enough people are talking about him this year. He's been really good, 9,600. Jose Berrios for the Twins, 9,000. And then Davis had a few drinks before he put this list together and put Carlos Martinez on our list today for 6,500 for the St. Louis Cardinals. Sorry.
I'm telling you, that is how bad this is. I'm looking at Walker Buehler. He is the clear best starting pitcher in the slate. Looking at Jose Berrios, a really strong starting pitcher in this slate. Now, you know, if it was a 15-game slate with lots of other guys going, he wouldn't even make the list. We have Luis Garcia, but again, not going that deep into games. You know, we are not projecting him for a ton of strikeouts or anything like that, about 5.5 projected strikeouts. Now, it is a very, 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 very good matchup for Luis Garcia going up against the Detroit Tigers. But, you know, it just kind of takes our numbers a little while to catch up to new guys. And then as it pertains to Carlos Martinez, he gave up 8 earned runs in his last start. Not great, right? Like, why is he on this list? Well, first off, he's facing the Pirates, so his last start was against the Braves. However, before that Braves start, he had started to figure things out maybe just a little bit. 6 strikeouts, 7 strikeouts in his last 2 starts with only 1 walk in each of those 2 starts. Now, I'm not telling you Carlos Martinez is going to have rediscovered his form from prior years. What I am saying is I would guess 70% or more of your opponents tonight are going to be using Luis Garcia, Jose Berrios, and Walker Buehler. Maybe even more. Honestly, maybe even 80% of your opponents are going to be using those 3 guys. At the same time, I will guarantee you, Joe Ross, Tony Santillan, Carlos Martinez, Chad Kuhl, Cody Petit, Zach Davies, someone else in this player pool will outscore those guys. That's just kind of the nature of the way sports works. It's never as predictable as we think. And more often than not, you want to be trying to go away from what your opponents are doing. So Carlos Martinez was just an example of that.
Gotcha. Contrarian play. Okay. I like it. Over to first base and catcher, Paul Goldschmidt, 3,900. Max Muncy for the Dodgers, 3,500. Trey Mancini at 3,300. And look, Houston has won 10 games in a row. So why not just keep riding that? 3,100 for Yuli Gurriel.
Yeah, I am holding steadfast to my dedication for Yuli Gurriel. He is going to continue to be in our rundown every single day until our friends at FanDuel, are you guys watching the show? Are you not understanding that you need to price him up a little bit higher? This guy keeps raking. Everyone is rewarded for playing him. So let's increase his price a little bit. Mancini has the platoon advantage against Anthony Kay. They're playing in that ballpark in Buffalo. Now, it's not as great, not as friendly as Dunedin, but still a very friendly run environment, and Mancini is going to have the platoon advantage. Max Muncy, one of our highest projected first basemen of the slate. Zach Davies, one of the lowest strikeout starting pitchers in professional baseball. I think the Dodgers are they are going to absolutely go to town on the Cubs pitching tonight. I think they could score 10 runs tonight in this game. And then, of course, Paul Goldschmidt against Chad Kuhl. Basically, Chad Kuhl, if he's not walking you, he's going to be giving you allowed out. Now, whether, you know, he gives up a lot of hard contact, gives up a lot of doubles, a lot of home runs. And I think the Cardinals, because that game's not a great run environment. And the weather here in St. Louis, pretty nasty, pretty cold. Don't think we're going to see a ton of ownership on that game tonight.
All right. Now at second base, is there anybody hotter right now in the month of June than Jose Altuve? Feels like a must play. And this is sort of a dial it back, Davis, to 2018. He has just been on fire. 4,200 tonight for Houston. Kike Hernandez of the Red Sox is 3,300. Ozzie Albies, I'd love to know if Acuna is playing before I put him in. Usually bats right around him. 3,100. And then Brandon Lau of Tampa Bay, 3,100 for the Rays tonight.
Yep, basically no one better at the position right now than Jose Altuve. Gets the matchup tonight against Jose Urania. Urania, one of the worst pitchers in starting, you know, one of the worst starting pitchers in Major League Baseball. I'm maybe a little bit worried that on an 8-game slate with offense, you know, there are a lot of offenses in good spots. I'm a little bit worried the Astros get really flocked to. They'll have a couple cheap guys that you can put in there. I mean, Gurriel underpriced. So I'm a little worried about ownership on the Astros. Enrique Hernandez, not a great run environment there in Tampa Bay, but, you know, great matchup against Michael Wacha, who never struck anyone out. And now that he's getting a little bit older, is just pretty much relying on location. If his location is off at all, he's going to get banged up. Then the I know we're waiting to know on Acuña, but honestly, even if Acuña does not play, the Atlanta Braves have the second highest team total of the slate behind only the Houston Astros. Albies, super affordable, little bit of pop, little bit of speed. And then Brandon Lau, just a hitter I really like. And much like Garrett Richards, much like his teammate Garrett Richards, and I know you're with me on this one, Craig, we are attacking Pivetta until the Pivetta pinata pays out, because eventually he's given up 4 home runs in one of these starts.
By the way, I don't know if you caught this at all, Davis, but did you see or read any of the transcript from Garrett Richards last night? I don't know if you caught any of that.
No, I did not. Did he tell all the haters like me to go shove it?
No, he said that he can't pitch this way. He said that he's been pitching the same way for 9.5 years, and he's glad he's had a great run, and he doesn't know what he's going to do. That's what he said after the game. I mean, he basically admitted that he's been using stuff, and he can't pitch this way. So just something to keep an eye on moving forward with him. He's the first pitcher to say that. Okay, let's move over and check in and see what Vlad Guerrero Jr.'s price is tonight, because we love using him, but it is high, 4,300. Justin Turner at 3,000, Josh Donaldson 2,800, and then a high team total for the Reds, Jonathan India at 2,600.
Yeah, so Vlad, 6-run team total for the Toronto Blue Jays. Dean Kramer starting for the Baltimore Orioles. Dean Kramer not going to be making the All-Star game anytime soon, I don't think. I think the Blue Jays are going to be on the menu to score lots of runs tonight, of course. So Vlad Guerrero Jr., their best hitter. Justin Turner, I mean, this just seemed like an absurd price. Like, I think the Dodgers are going to score so many runs tonight against Zach Davies. They do so well against starting pitchers that they can't strike anyone out. So I really like him there. Josh Donaldson, just a pure price play here, sitting at 2,800. I mean, I talk about this all the time, but when guys who you think are really talented hitters see big decreases in their price for whatever reason, it's just generally a good spot to load up on them. Jonathan India, you know, we don't love him or anything, but the gigantic total in that game, Josh Tomlin starting for the Braves. And I actually think the Reds are going to be less owned than the Braves, but obviously the high total of that game suggests we should want players from both teams.
Okay, now to shortstop, the player that I'll be watching tonight, Trey Turner for the Washington Nationals. They're here in Miami, 4,300. Marcus Semien looked pretty good for the Jays, 3,400. They bumped up Wander Franco, $200 on FanDuel to 2,700. And then, yikes, Ahmed Rosario, rough year for him, but down to 2,300 tonight on FanDuel. I think they're going to replace Rosario in that lineup at the deadline.
Yeah, well, I think they wanted to. Remember, they weren't really wanting to play Rosario.
They tried to trade him.
Now I can't. Yeah. Well, I can't even remember the name of the young shortstop they called up this season to try and play, but they already sent him back down because he was not any good. I remember he got some hype on the NFBC because he was stealing bases. Of course, right. Wander Franco gonna hit third against Pivetta, switch hitter. I mean, you guys already know he needs to be priced at 3,400, and he's not. Actually, Marcus Semien and Bo Bichette are the two highest projected shortstops here, shortstop eligible players here on FanDuel. And then I am thinking, though, that because Semien and Bichette are projected so high, pretty sure Trey Turner, who is, I mean, he has been one of the best picks in fantasy baseball this year, one of your first rounders, who he missed that first week due to COVID tracing, and then has entered into the lineup and has been great since then. I think you might be able to get single-digit ownership on Trey Turner tonight against Cody Poteet.
All right, let's finally close it out with the outfield here. Mookie Betts, hopefully in the lineup tonight, 4,000. Yordan Alvarez, another homer yesterday for him. He's on fire, 3,800. You know, George Springer has not looked right since he's come back. He's been back two games. I'm not sure about this one. 3,500. Cedric Mullins, a great play, 3,000. And then Akil Baddoo seems to be getting a little bit better. Had that great start, slowed down, may have picked it up a little bit. He's at 2,700 for the Tigers.
All right. Well, if Craig says Springer is not looking right, he told us yesterday, Jazz Chisholm not looking right. If Craig says they're not right, I definitely think, I mean, that very specifically is something that's very hard to adjust for in projections.
Yeah.
George Springer is our second highest projected outfielder. But if Craig says he's not looking right, I am willing to listen to him. And so I think that we could replace him with Randall Grichuk. We could replace him with Teoscar Hernandez or even Lourdes Gurriel. Of course, Mookie Betts, an MVP level player in Major League Baseball. Again, the Dodgers are going to score a lot of runs tonight. Yordan Alvarez actually is our third highest projected scorer. Monstrous power from him. Jose Urania, gigantic team total for the Houston Astros. Alvarez, probably my favorite play in the outfield today. Cedric Mullins, I mean, continues to smoke the ball, continues to line up for the fantasy points. And then Akil Baddoo, our cheapie here today. He was batting eighth for the Detroit Tigers for a while, which is, it's just like, what's even the point? What is the point of batting your young, exciting guy eighth in the lineup? Let's get him some plate appearances. Let's figure out what he can do. They have started doing that. Baddoo has responded to that change in the lineup order. And I just think he looks like a high upside guy there at 2,700.
Yeah, Jazz yesterday, by the way, 0-for-4 on 9 pitches. It's not easy to do, Davis. 0-for-4 on 9 pitches yesterday. So definitely not seeing
Craig
the ball
knew.
Right. You know, Springer could get hot. I just have seen all his – remember, he's missed so much time, hasn't seen any major league pitching in 4 months. So, you know, I'm not saying it can't happen. It could start tonight in Baltimore, but I don't know. He's a lot of, like, pop-outs to the second baseman and, like, slow ground balls. He'll get there. I'm not sure it's time yet. All right. It is time for us to take a quick break here on Fantasy Sports Today. Our daily Euro Cup update is next. So stay with us on the grid. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Well, I have a correction for our show here on Fantasy Sports Today. There is no Euro Cup today. I'm very disappointed that I will not be able to watch any of that today. But there is good news from Davis. Copa America is going on today. And coming up in less than 4 hours, Davis has a tip that's going to help you make a little cash over on FanDuel. So what is it, Davis? Tell me.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's the summer of soccer. We have the European Championships. We have Copa America, which is the South American Championships. And then we also, in a couple weeks, are going to have the Gold Cup, which is the North America, Central America, CONCACAF region championships as well. So lots of international soccer being played this summer. I got a tip. Tonight, Uruguay is going up against Bolivia. Bolivia is, as you would imagine, for a country that is that small, they do not have a fantastic soccer program, but Uruguay does. I mean, they have two of the greatest goal scorers who play in Europe right now, Luis Suarez and Edinson Cavani. So I am on Uruguay -1.5 goals at, I believe it is -115 on the FanDuel Sportsbook. Basically, just a great goal-scoring team, two great you know, all-time leading European goal scorers going up against a team that does not have very many guys who play, who ply their trade over in the major leagues in Europe. So there you go. There is the tip for today. I'm going to have to brainstorm and have something different for the Sports Grid 60 today now.
Yeah, that's a shame, Davis. But good news, though, FanDuel. Yeah, no, I'm sure that we'll have something there. You know, I don't want to just crap all over soccer. I mean, I understand it's great, and and I'm very much acknowledging that a lot of people love it. It's just there's only so many things on my menu that I can handle for one day, and I have a baseball team to follow here that's 11 games under 500. I got my hands full with this vacation coming up in a couple of weeks. Soccer just has to go a little bit on the back burner. Okay, our headlines are coming up next. Chris has the update at the top, and then we'll have ours. We'll also hear from a very candid Bryce Harper of the Philadelphia Phillies, whose team lost in the final inning in a wild game yesterday, what the Phillies could look like over the next month or two. So stay on the grid and stay with us. Also, a fantasy football best ball preview of the New York Jets. Catch that next right here on Fantasy Sports Today on Sports Grid. We'll be right back.